104.5 The Zone and 9:33 The Wake Up Zone, alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop. I'm Kevin Ingram. It's becoming one of our favorite parts of the week. Jason Stark joins us from The Athletic and the MLB Network. Talk some baseball
the best
here
time
for a few minutes. Absolutely. Jason, what's going on this morning?
Kevin, I appreciate you guys adjusting schedules for me. I had a crazy travel day yesterday.
Yeah, where are you?
Oh, I'm home again now. I was trying to get from Chicago to Philadelphia.
Ah.
Wasn't easy.
Sometimes it's not. What did you think of Robinson Cano's explanation for his suspension?
Well, let's put it this way. I have often wondered if anyone's ever calculated the number of players who got suspended and said, I was given this substance by a doctor in the Dominican. You know, that really has been a recurrent theme where standards are different, right? So I'm going to take that into account, but the bottom line is it really doesn't matter. Robbie Cano's played in the big leagues for 14 years, and he's a bright guy. He knows what gets you suspended and what doesn't. One of his closest friends in New York, you'll recall, was Alex Rodriguez, and Robbie Cano saw exactly what happened to that guy. So I think it all adds up to this. He has to be aware of everything that he is putting in his body, and he has to own this. The other thing to remember in this case is, all right, he tested positive for a diuretic, which is not a PED, but is often used to mask PEDs. And so in circumstances like this, the independent arbitrator who oversees the drug program has the right to look into his circumstances and say, you know what, this guy made a mistake. We're not going to suspend him. That didn't happen. And I think that tells us something. So he got his 80 games, but let's be honest, what he really got here was a life sentence. His career's never going to be the same.
Yeah, as far as how people view him, that's for sure. I want to ask you, too, about Joey Votto. He apologized for his comments about Canadian baseball. How hard of a personality is he to get to know, based on your experiences with him?
Is Joey Votto a piece of work or what?
He is an interesting cat.
He really is. I'm just kind of fascinated by him. But one of the things that I'm fascinated by is he's obviously got this side to him where he just loves to agitate. And, it's part of this interview. He also, I wouldn't say he said the nicest things about his franchise, the people who run it. And that's probably going to wind up getting him in more trouble than this. But I'm really not sure what the whole Canada part of it was all about. He wins the Canadian Baseball Player of the Year award every single year. So it's not like Canada overlooks him. He's played for Team Canada in the WBC. He still spends the offseason in Canada. He's a Raptors season ticket holder. He's part of the fabric of Canadian life and Canadian baseball. So what was he doing? I still can't figure it out.
We're on with Jason Stark of The Athletic and Major League Baseball Network, naturally. And Jason, I guess, first and foremost, I have to ask you, David Sampson has, some ideas to make the game better. Could you kind of elaborate on that a little bit there based off of your article there?
Yeah, this one really stirred it up. You know, last week we were talking about the piece that I wrote where I polled a couple of dozen people around baseball about what could be done to help put more balls in play. I reached out to a large cross-section of people, and one of the people who responded was David Sampson, who, of course, was the longtime president of the Marlins, is no longer there because Derek Jeter swept everybody out the door. And he had some totally different ideas on a completely different range of subjects. And since he used to be a member of the competition committee, I thought, what the heck, they're interesting. I'm going to throw them out there. Now, most of these ideas are head scratchers. I didn't expect people to agree with any of them. I'm not going to run through them all. But the one I thought was kind of fun was this. Ninth inning, your team is trailing. If those are the circumstances, you can put anyone on your team up to bat. And just imagine, say, Game 7 of the World Series. Okay, Mike Trout leads off the ninth with a double, and his team's within a run, and he's in scoring position. Who comes up to bat next? They could put Mike Trout up to bat. You'd have this one wild card decision that you could make every game in the ninth inning, if you're trailing, to bring up anybody you want to bat, even if he'd already batted in that inning, even if he was already on base. And it's way outside the box, But it's, you know, it's kind of fun to think about because, like in basketball, in the NBA Finals, in the last minute, you know that LeBron or Steph is going to have the ball in his hands. In the Super Bowl, with a minute to go, what's going to keep you watching? Tom Brady's got to drive his team up the field one more time. The ball's in the hands of the star players, not in baseball. This would be one way outside the box idea to try to accomplish that. People think it's crazy. I kind of like it. What do you guys think?
I think it's insane.
I kind of like it.
Would you have a ghost runner for Mike Trout if he comes back from second base and into bat?
A pinch runner, and then he comes back to bat again. That'd be interesting.
It's a little gimmicky. I'll give you that. But his whole thinking was, let's talk about stuff like this. And I don't think he expected anybody to say, yeah, this is brilliant, let's do it. And that's certainly, I knew that nobody would agree with me or him on any of this. But the whole idea is to provoke thought and conversation and just allow us to get to a place where we say, you know, baseball is beautiful, but it's not like it's the Mona Lisa. You can touch it up if you feel like it needs to be. So that's all this was, seriously.
Really enjoyed your interview with Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner on the Stadium Channel. Jason, that's an amazing story about a guy who made dramatic swing changes late in his career, and it just took off.
Yeah, that's true, Mark. And, he's about 5 years removed now from getting non-tendered by the Mets. And he tells a story about getting a call from Sandy Alderson as he's about to go to a meeting of a players' union reps. And so now they go around the room, and you have to say, all right, what team are you with? And how embarrassing was it for him to say, oh, I just got let go. I have no team. And, on one hand, he had already begun to make the changes in his swing that have led him to being an all-star. He actually hit .358 that last September with the Mets. But on the other hand, I think he makes it clear in this piece that he's used it for fuel. And what a great guy, right? He's just so conscious of what professional athletes mean to kids and to their city, to their community. And he never loses sight of that ever. He's just such an easy guy to root for.
How about the ballpark at Atlanta, and how neat is it that it's lively, like it used to be in the 90s? The Braves are playing great. That series with the Cubs, I thought, was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, do you know that that's the one park in the big leagues that I have not been to, just because it opened last year, and so I never got there, but it looks like I'm going to get there this year.
It's super nice.
Everybody who has been there really likes it, and they've got the look of a team that's building something special. They remind me of those 2015, 2016 Astros where, you knew all these great young franchise-changing players were coming, and now, whoops, here they are. And it's happening fast. Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna, incredible. Who has two guys 20 and 21 like them? Dansby Swanson, 23, 24 years old. Freddie Freeman feels like he's been in the big leagues for 20 years. He's 28. And look at the strides that their young pitchers are making. This is a team that is in position now to be really good for a really long period of time.
And finally, what are the Yankees going to do about their roster overflow? Specifically, Greg Bird, who's on his way back. Clint Frazier, and they got Brandon Drury just playing at AAA after he sort of established himself as a regular third baseman in Arizona the last few years.
Yeah, they file these things under nice problems to have, right?
Yeah, we feel really sorry for Mark's Yankees over here,
Yeah, that was a little moment of silence, I heard.
Yeah, that was a moment of silence.
this is what makes them so terrifying, is not just that their team on the field is so good, but the guys who aren't playing are so good. They're major league players. Their system is overstuffed with major league talent. I keep using the word behemoth. They're going to be a behemoth for for the next 5-10 years. They've put themselves in position now to make a big deal at the deadline. They've put themselves in position to spend this winter because they're under the threshold. It's just scary what they're about to become. And I'm sorry for all the people that hate the Yankees, but that's what's happening.
I don't know if a segue from the word behemoth to Bartolo Colon is an appropriate one. But if a ball going 100 miles an hour is going to hit him, the stomach was a good spot, wasn't it?
They always say, you know, make sure you get hit in a place where it can't hurt you.
Right.
It's like he's got more protection than the catcher wearing the chest protector.
Oh, man. Always great stuff, Jason. Thanks so much, and we always look forward to our visits with you.
Yeah, me too. Always fun, man. Thanks. Okay.